Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Wednesday, the 4th of June. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. Coming up, a 14-year-old has appeared in court again charged with the murder of 14-year-old Christopher McBurney last week. Recent statistics have highlighted Manx residents are struggling to keep up with the cost of living, and we're officially halfway through the racing schedule, so we'll get the latest from day 3 of the TT. As always, do get in touch if you want to comment on anything you hear. Text WhatsApp to 166177 or email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's join Siobhan Fletcher, who has the latest news headlines. Fastamai, Siobhan.
Fastamai. A 14-year-old has appeared in court again, charged with murder following a serious incident in Ramsey last week. The juvenile, who can't be named for legal reasons, is accused of murdering 14-year-old Christopher McBurney last Thursday, who the prosecution says died as a result of a fatal stab wound to the chest. Michael Dunlop produced yet another commanding display to win today's Supersport TT Race 2. Speaking to Radio TT afterwards, he says he was pleased his Ducati machine ran as smoothly as it did in the windy conditions.
The boys worked all last night. We had not a bit of an issue, but it was something we had to work on. The boys worked like dogs all last night, and thanks to the whole team.
Government needs to ensure all residents on the Isle of Man have a chance to recover from and avoid poverty. That's from the Treasury Minister, as a report detailing what government is doing to alleviate the issue is set to be laid before Timworld later this month. The director of a prominent Manx holiday lettings agency says it will continue to be a local business despite being acquired by a UK-based company. Island Escapes, which manages over 150 properties on the island, is joining the Sapphire Holidays Limited family of brands. And Sir Mark Cavendish says he's so happy to have had the chance to watch the TT for the first time in many years this week. He told Radio TT to be on the ground amongst the action is something that can't be replicated.
Oi, welcome along. It is Manx Radio Motorsport. I'm emotional today.
I haven't been in the TT since 2008 because I was always racing. I blocked this week out and August out this year. I'm so happy. It's incredible. Like, this feeling, you know, this feeling at the start, like it's something special, you know, and you don't get it from the TV, do you?
Further afield, Donald Trump's NATO ambassador wants defence spending to go further still. From the 3.5% of national income, the UK is expected to be made to commit to this month. Matthew Whitaker wants 5% starting now. Britain's accusing Israel of an inhumane aid plan after claims roads close to distribution centres in Gaza would be considered combat zones. And England defender Millie Bright is the latest big name to rule herself out of selection for Euro 2025. There are your headlines, news at 6.
Grimaya, thank you very much for that. Siobhan, I do have to just quickly apologise. That was me who had the fader up during that. So if you heard Chris Pearson talking, that was all entirely my fault. Let's now take a look at the weather. There's still a few showers around to start, but those tending to fade through this evening. Then rain arriving by the end of the overnight period. Fresh to strong southwest wind, easing light to variable later, minimum temperature of 8 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow, though, wet start to the day, though that rain clearing by the afternoon with a few showers then following. Light and variable wind settling to a moderate southwesterly by the end of the day and top temperature of around 15 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
Feel the fun at the TT Races with Tesco. Visit your local store to top up your tank with snacks and refreshments for race day. Tesco, every little helps.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view delshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zet's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all-island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Bigode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. contact Bagode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bagode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
5 minutes past five, and let's just bring you up to date with where we're at with that murder investigation to start. A 14-year-old has appeared in court again today, charged with murder following a serious incident in Ramsey last week. The juvenile, who can't be named for legal reasons, made his second appearance at Douglas Courthouse via live video link this morning. He's accused of murdering 14-year-old Christopher McBurney last Thursday, who the prosecution says died as a result of a fatal stab wound to the chest. The prosecution asked for committal proceedings to take place in 6 weeks. Magistrates agreed, setting a committal date of the 16th of July. The case was adjourned for 4 weeks, with the boy remanded until his next appearance on the 2nd of July. Well, later this month, the Council of Ministers' annual report on poverty measures will be laid before Tynwald. It provides an overview of the latest indicators on poverty and highlights a series of measures aimed at alleviating the issue and improving the lives of people across the island. But recent statistics show a percentage of Manx residents are struggling to keep up with the cost of living, especially those living in private rental properties. Lewis Foster has been speaking with the Treasury Minister, Alex Allenson, about what this document and this government hopes to achieve.
Back in 2019, Tynwald set up a committee on poverty to look at, one, how we calculate it, and then how we quantify and deal with it and actually have the evidence to bring forward policies, government policies, and approval by Tynwald, obviously, to try to counter this. And again, it's really quite complicated, because what we're talking about now, you've got sort of absolute poverty, but also you've got relative poverty, which is defined as when a household receives about 60% of the median household income for the Isle of Man. And we haven't really had a good idea of that. We know every year we do an earnings survey, and we know that the median gross pay is around about £38,000 a year, but that's 2023. But actually, household income, that's not just what you earn. That's what you might get from benefits and what you might get from investments or money in the bank. And so every 5 years we do what's called the household income and expenditure survey, and that's used for calculating the VAT share, and therefore then extrapolated on how many people are below 60% of that, and has come up with a figure of around about 11% of the household studied of that, which is lower than the UK, but still a significant amount. And then when you look at those people who are in the private rental market, it goes up even higher to the 25%. So what we need to do is look at government policies that are there and the ones that we have to develop to try to correct some of this and lift people out of relative poverty, to give them a better experience of being able to live on the Isle of Man and be able to afford the things that some of the rest of us take for granted.
Is it ever possible to wipe it out?
Because relative poverty moves according to the economic climate, there'll always be people who are slightly behind their neighbours. That's a fact of life. What we need to do, though, is ensure that everyone has a chance on this island to earn more, to participate in our society more, and to enjoy living on the island more. And that's what the whole island plan and the whole thrust of this administration has been trying to achieve.
Treasury Minister Alex Allenson speaking to Lewis Foster there. Approaching 9 minutes past five now, and the handling of a complaint by Michael Commissioners involving a trampoline hitting a parked van has amounted to maladministration. The Tynwald Commissioner for Administration, Paul Beckett, was asked to investigate how the local authority dealt with the claim, which included a land ownership allegation. The details from Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper.
The complainant, who has not been named, contacted the TCA in September 2023, explaining that his van had been hit by a trampoline during a storm in February. In an email, they claimed the trampoline was untethered and that it belonged to the neighbour. However, they believed the commissioners were responsible as the trampoline was installed on their land. The TCA's report confirmed the neighbouring complainant swapped insurance details, and the commissioners asked their insurance provider for information. Both the neighbours and Michael Commissioner's insurance provider said they weren't at fault. The neighbour said the trampoline was tethered and repeatedly stated in correspondence that it was on their land, not the commissioner's. Mr Beckett's report also says emails between the complainant and their insurance brokers in March 2023 showed the brokers would not accept liability for the claim. The complainant added in July 2023 an information pack was received from the land registry, which said the land belonged to the local authority. In the report, the clerk says the neighbours discussed the land boundary in 2009, when it was initially raised by the neighbour as the board wanted to build a children's play area. At the time, the commissioners agreed not to proceed, as it wouldn't be a good use of ratepayers' money. In the report, it says an email was sent to the clerk of Michael Commissioners from the housing developer, confirming the land belonged to the property the neighbour had bought. The clerk told the TCA she had used every available avenue to establish who owns the land, including going through minute books from 2009 onwards. She had also been told by the Isle of Man Land Registry Office that it doesn't show the legal ownership of land. That can only be dealt with by the courts. In conclusion, Mr Beckett said Michael Commissioners had never come to grips with the question of the land ownership and boundaries prior to the efforts of the new clerk. He also said opportunities to rectify plans and engage with the developer were missed, and if it had been resolved, the situation would have been unnecessary. Mr Beckett added the historic and repeatedly reinforced decisions of the commissioners to step back from the dispute potentially involving the commissioner's own property defied logic. Mr Beckett also determined that the local authority had not ignored the complainant and that the complainant was not unfairly disadvantaged by them.
Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper reporting there.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
A man who hit his friend in the head with a hammer after an argument has pleaded guilty to a charge of affray. Paul Anthony McCormick, whose address was given as care of the Isle of Man prison, admitted the charge in an appearance at Douglas Courthouse. More details now from Sean Cowper.
The court heard McCormick had been drinking with a friend on the 24th of May when the incident occurred on Albert Road in Ramsey. Using a hammer obtained from his home, the 35-year-old struck his friend behind the ear, leaving him with a wound that needed gluing and stitches. The prosecution argued that the matter was too serious to be dealt with in the summary court, highlighting the violent nature of the offence, the use of a weapon, and the physical injury. McCormick's advocate told the court he'd lashed out recklessly rather than deliberately and was shocked when he hit his friend. Deputy High Bailiff Rachel Braidwood agreed the case should proceed at the Court of General Jail Delivery, which has greater sentencing powers. McCormick was remanded in custody until his next appearance on the 20th of June.
Sean Cowper reporting there, 12 minutes past five. Let's turn our attention to all the TT-related stories now because we're officially halfway through the race week. It's been a busy 24 hours for police. They've responded to a number of high-profile incidents, including a cyclist going the wrong way on the mountain road. Inspector Paul Kemp has more details.
Two things, not allowed on the mountain road as a cyclist, and secondly, going the wrong way. This individual has actually entered the course and negotiated all the barriers, all the signage, which is quite clear, and caused the whole mountain to have to be closed very, very quickly, creating all our units having to get up to their various points to protect the course and then catch up with this guy. Anecdotally, apparently ignoring people that were shouting to him to stop. So that's going to come out in the wash. As it happens today, the course has been delayed, but this would have caused a lot more delays, and potentially had it gone completely wrong as well, who can even guess what could have happened there?
Dread to think, exactly. The other thing I noticed on your page yesterday was a theft which involved escape by tram.
Yes, and I want to thank the public for this one. So Inspector Gareth John, who's the senior police officer in Race Control, got this message out very, very quickly and all the information and garnered the support of the public to identify these individuals, because obviously we're on the Isle of Man, it's TT, you can guess they're probably not local, so we want to get the information out really, really fast. And the next thing is we were contacted and informed that they were on a tram. And
so this involved Victory Cafe, I think, didn't it?
It did involve Victory Cafe. They'd stolen quite a substantial amount of clothing, which they were found wearing by all accounts. And yes, so they jumped on a tram. We obviously surveilled said tram with information from the public, and they were intercepted by a traffic unit, I understand, and arrested. But yes, thank you to the public. It really showed something as well, the public support over that, just on Facebook alone. Obviously, our community and our visiting community really were not impressed with this. So yeah, thank you very much.
That must be the slowest and most visible getaway of all time.
Can you imagine being in the traffic car sat at the bottom going, come on now, Come on.
Another thing we want to talk about is people have been moving the signage.
Yes, I've had a report this morning that two locations specifically, but the whole course has obviously been checked, Wildlife Park and the Maroun areas. So the safety signage has been moved, which is quite a worry. Had we not had delays this morning, this would have caused delays because the problem is, of course, we can't do anything if the safety signage isn't there.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Italian job would have a whole completely different meaning if it was a tram that you were trying to get away on. I'm not sure that's the vehicle of choice that I would ever use. But nonetheless, Paul Kemp, thank you very much for that.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, as you can imagine, it's fairly straightforward today. All of the roads around the TT course are open, including the mountain. Most of the roadworks have been put on hold for the duration of TT, so there's nothing major to be aware of on that front either. Tomorrow is a contingency day, but it's not going to be used, so there's going to be no racing tomorrow, so roads will remain open. If we look ahead to Friday, though, the mountain road will be closing at 9 o'clock. All roads closed at 10 o'clock, and that will be for the Superstock, the Sidecar, Senior Practice and Super Twin. All roads are going to be reopening no later than 9:30, but we'll remind you about that on Friday throughout the day as well. Of course, if you do spot anything while you're out and about on your travels today, do ping us a text, or as long as it's safe to do so, 166177, or email studio@manxradio.com. Let's take a look at the steam packet now. Nothing that I'm seeing there that's to be aware of. Over at the airport, though, let's have a look down at Ronald's Way. On the arrivals board, nothing there, and also on the departures board, nothing I'm seeing there. So it looks like everything is running to time.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
The RAF Red Arrows display team mark their TT return for 2025 on Thursday the 5th of June from 7:30pm in Douglas. Watch the display from Douglas Prom, Douglas or Onken Head, and hear the commentary live from Red 10, Squadron Leader Graham Muscat, only on Manx Radio, FM, AM and DAB from 7:25. Manx Radio's live commentary with the Red Arrows from Villa Marina Balcony in Douglas tomorrow from 7:25pm.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
17 minutes past five now, and all TT visitors who've needed healthcare on the island so far have had the right travel insurance, according to Manx Care. Those without the right protection run the risk of having to pay for medical procedures or repatriation themselves, which could cost in the region of tens of thousands of pounds. Manx Care has been encouraging people to check what their insurance covers before travelling here. Commercial Development Manager Andy Reid says they've seen a new type of cover this year.
Everybody's been insured this year so far that's needed to be insured, which is great. And something we've picked up on is specific Isle of Man TT insurance for medical healthcare, which covers all medical expenses and repatriation, which is great to see because there's obviously companies out there that are recognising that maybe coming to the Isle of Man and visiting the TT is probably higher risk than visiting other places in the world. So it's good to see.
I suppose it makes sense though, doesn't it? Because one of the things we talk about quite a lot is if you need to be repatriated, that sort of thing. Oh my goodness, it can cost a lot of money.
It can do, yeah. It can range from 5,000 to an unknown amount of money, depending on just how badly injured you are and where you need to go and the medical support that needs to get you from our hospital to the hospital that you need to get to. So yeah, it can be extremely expensive. And actually now, as people are coming into the hospital, they're actually reaching for their insurance paperwork and telling our ED staff, oh, I'm insured, which actually they don't need to be if they just go to ED because ED's free. It's when they become an inpatient into the hospital that then the insurance comes to play. But it's really good that people are actually thinking about, I have to tell people that I've got insurance cover, which is great because as an island hospital, we need to recover the costs that we spend on getting people fit and healthy again. And in some cases, when people have some nasty accidents, that can cost lots and lots of money. Treatment always comes first. Money is secondary to that. You're never, ever going to be told we're not going to treat you. That's not the way we work. We treat first. People's health and well-being is the priority for the hospital. They get treated and then we talk about the payments afterwards.
Andy Reid speaking there. Well, while we're on the topic of health, a senior pharmacist at Manx Care says visitors on the Isle of Man are still able to pick up prescription medication from pharmacies across the island. The island is expecting to see, as it normally does, as many as 40,000 visitors over the TT period. Daniel Hunter has been speaking to Manx Radio Motorsport.
Sometimes people will come with prescriptions maybe from different jurisdictions, so the UK, Channel Islands, and even abroad. So here on the island, UK and prescriptions from the Channel Islands and including Southern Ireland can be dispensed on island. So that is possible. For people who pay for their prescriptions in the UK or other areas, it'll be the same prescription charge, but it's our prescription charges are £3.85, a lot cheaper than in the UK.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
For people abroad, prescriptions can still be dispensed, but there will be a private prescription charge, so it may be more expensive. It just depends on the medication.
But you will be able to get your medication.
You
as
will,
long
yes.
As it's in
yeah,
stock,
would,
that's
you know,
important.
We don't want to see people without medication, especially for long-term conditions.
That's Daniel Hunter, a senior pharmacist at Manx Care.
Get the full story. Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The clerk of the TT course is praising the resilience of competitors, race fans and residents during what's been a disrupted TT 2025, largely due to poor weather. Speaking to Radio TT, Gary Thompson explains the various factors to consider when making the many schedule changes so far this year due to the challenging conditions.
So there's various things, really. I mean, I don't like the competitors hanging around the start line, you know, listening to continuous delays. You know, to make that decision to say, right, we're not racing until tonight, it at least allows them to, you know, relax, stand down, so to speak, and then get themselves ready. You know, we've got marshals stood on points, and we've got officials all around the grandstand, but also the public. You know, we don't want the public and the spectators just stood around looking at empty tarmac. So, you know, I'm very conscious of minimising disruption to everybody overall.
The public that aren't necessarily out watching the races, the people that are at work and trying to get home from work or trying to go about their daily lives, it all factors in.
It does, yeah. I mean, 37 and three-quarter miles is you know, a pretty hefty chunk, and what we can do to minimise that disruption to the public, you know, maintain the integrity of the event, and just do what we can to minimise that disruption to everybody is the main factor.
Nowhere else in the world are we trying to close down an island essentially to run a motorsports event.
No, exactly. No, nobody else has these issues to deal with, and I'm very conscious of the disruption, but equally I'm honoured to be doing what I do on the best mountain course in the world.
Off the back of a very testing week and a half already, it just doesn't feel like the event's got into the kind of flow we would all want it to.
Yeah, I think you're right. It hasn't got into the flow, but equally, and this testament to everybody involved, everybody's been patient, everybody's been resilient, everybody's been flexible, and just like to say a special thanks to the marshals out there. Without them, we can't start, and that doesn't detract from all the officials we have around the grandstand and all that sort of thing. You know, to everybody involved, you know, they have been flexible. They've been up early in the morning, they've been there late at night, and TT comes round once a year, and by hook or by crook, we're going to get through it.
Gary Thompson, the clerk of the TT course, speaking there. Just a quick one, we are receiving some travel news. Due to a road traffic collision on Peel Road at the entrance for the Douglas Rugby Club, at the eastbound lane is currently blocked. Police say that traffic is being managed from Quarterbridge in a westerly direction, but expect delays in the area. I'll just say that one more time. Due to a road traffic collision on Peel Road at the entrance for Douglas Rugby Club, the eastbound lane is currently blocked, so you can expect delays if you are in the area. Well, let's turn our attention now to sports, TT. Fastamai, Rob Pritchard.
Fastamai, Christian. So we did get some racing action at TT 2025 this afternoon with the four-lap Supersport TT Race 2. Michael Dunlop racked up his 32nd TT victory and his 8th successive win in the class, taking top spot on the Milwaukee Ducati Panigale V2. Well, the Ballymoney man told Radio TT he was happy the machine ran as smoothly as it did, given the windy conditions.
The boys worked all last night. We had something we had to work on. The boys worked like dogs all last night, and thanks to the whole team. It's nice to have the livery too. It was a different livery for today. For the Ducati heads were here, so it was nice to, when they were here watching, to win on the bike for them. Listen, the wee bike's mint. It was here last year, and we were able to defend it off of the Yamaha, so to get on the Ducati this year and have a good go at it was great.
Well, he finished a full 26.1 seconds clear of Honda Racing UK's Dean Harrison. Harrison says he was happy with the result as he was dealing with some mechanical problems in the latter stages of the race.
So I had a problem at the end of lap three. I don't really know. There was a technical noise from the bike and I was praying that he was going to finish. He went a bit flat. So happy it finished. So I'm happy with second place in that. That's how I feel the best we could do today. But a third, 2 seconds of the first this week. So far, so good. So, no, I've had worse weeks.
And completing the podium in third was Davey Todd, who finished just under 16 seconds off the pace of Harrison. He told Radio TT about the physical toll a race like that put on him.
Worn out after that one. For some reason, I find the smaller bikes so much more difficult than the bigger bikes. It's the wrong way around, I think. Tried my best. I give it my all and lost a rear brake on the first lap. I think we'd have been a little bit closer to Dean, but I'm not sure. Yeah, really stoked to be on the podium today.
Well, that was the top three, but there were some other good performances elsewhere. Just outside the podium places was Paul Jordan in fourth, whilst James Hind matched his best ever TT finish in fifth. Well, we were due to get the Sidecar TT Race 2 underway shortly after. However, race organisers took the decision to postpone the race due to poor weather, which arrived towards the end of the Supersport contest. Well, furthermore, because of more forecast bad conditions, officials added that it would not be possible to use this evening's contingency slot, and as a result, there was no further racing action today. Well, in the last hour, we've had confirmation from race organisers of a revised race schedule for Friday, the 6th of June. Officials have decided not to use tomorrow's contingency session in order to, in their words, provide teams, competitors, marshals and event staff with sufficient rest. As a result, race schedule for Friday the 6th of June reads as follows. The mountain road will close at 9 a.m. and then all roads around the Snaefell mountain course will be closed at 10 a.m. Following that, at 10:45 a.m. will be the Superstock TT Race 2 over three laps. Then at 1 p.m, the rearranged Sidecar TT Race 2, that'll be over a shorter distance of two laps. At 3 p.m, there will then be a senior practice, so that is a one-lap practice for solo riders. And that'll be followed at 4:15 p.m. by the Super Twin TT Race 2, that'll be over three laps. And all roads around the Snaefell Mountain course will reopen no later than 9 p.m. on Friday evening.
Thank you very much, Rob Pritchard. I imagine a rest day is probably quite welcome for many of the riders.
Well, it's actually something that's been referenced a couple of times. We heard just before, didn't we, from Clark of the TT course, Gary Thompson, and we heard in a message on WhatsApp that he put out to members of the public the other day as well, that they would look to use that contingency where possible, because it has been a long week and a half for everyone involved as well. So maybe some well-earned rest from all of us.
And a bit of a rest
for
the bikes as well, I imagine.
Absolutely, absolutely, yes. So, and then hopefully, fingers crossed, we get back to the racing on Friday.
Absolutely. It can't be easy being a bike travelling at like 200 miles an hour. I wouldn't be able to do it.
That's it. Even just in my mind, it still seems like a tiring prospect.
Cheers. Thank you so much for that, Rob. Well, that is it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher. On the way is Jason Moore sitting in for Chris Kinley with Greatest Hits. Before that, though, is Spotlight with Howard Kane. Ernie Thorne's got Opera Hour from 9, and then Rhianne Evans is in the hot seat from 10, taking you through till midnight. All the stories and you heard tonight and more available at manxradio.com. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time, so until then, take care, bye-bye for now.